Hello, everyone, and welcome to Hit and Hustle from irisportsdaily.com. I am your host, Greg Flamong, and with me, as always, is Jamie University, Mr. Jamie Uyama. It is Tuesday, April 9th. Jamie just got out of a Notre Dame practice, got to see five periods today, and he's been embedded in South Bend for about a week now, so he's got a lot of information to give to everyone, a lot of insights, a lot of things that he's picked up over time, so we're going to talk about that today and all things spring football. So thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If this is your first time catching our show, please hit the like, please hit subscribe, please hit the notification bell so you know whatever it is, we are going live. Links to the podcast are in the description below, and as always, we want to thank one of our sponsors who presents this show, and that is ESQ Clothing, founded by Notre Dame football alum Notre Dame alum Ga Wang. You've seen ESQ on all your favorite Notre Dame players and coaches with over a decade of making the best custom clothing available. ESQ will help you look and feel your best in 2024 from a perfect fitting suit or sport coat, shirt or bomber jacket, or that perfect tuxedo for wedding season. Check out Ga's amazing work at esqclothing.com. Book an appointment to upgrade your wardrobe today. Mention ISD and get 10% off your entire purchase. Jamie, how is South Bend right now? How are things treating you? Were you able to take in the wonderful eclipse yesterday that everyone was talking about tweeting about?
I didn't. You know what? I mean, I'm sure there was whatever, like people who were out there, you know, staring at it, hopefully yeah. Wearing those glasses. But I was not one of those people. You know, I was going to check it out when it was going on, but I was honestly doing work and just kind of lost track of time. And I was like, oh, I guess it happened. And I didn't even notice. So I wasn't outside when it was going on. So, you know, cool though that it happened. One of the wonders of the world. Okay, cool. Like it was cool, but, it's been, I mean, after it was kind of, weather here wasn't great, last week, it's much nicer right now. Like obviously they were out for practice today and it was pretty nice. It's good. It's been good.
It looked good on the videos today. The weather, they're outside playing ball, and that's good to see. It's, you want to see that in April as spring you know, spring picks up. My daughter, our oldest, she'll get worried about like the smallest little things, like things that you don't even think about. Like some things you think, oh, you'll get worried about, like we're going on a big trip or whatever. She's fine. But we told her about the eclipse, like, hey, this is happening. You know, don't look at the sun. Right. Yeah. She got all nervous about it. She was concerned about our youngest going to school. Don't let her look at the sun. Right. Like she was all worried about, you know, is she going to look up and then so then the five-year-old, our youngest is five, and she's teasing her like, oh, I'm going to look at it. She freaked out. But everyone got through it and it was nice. And, you know,
they canceled school in Toronto. Like they made it, they moved days to make it a day off. You know, I don't know if they just don't trust our kids, I guess, to not follow directions. But yeah.
What's going on up there, Jamie? What are you guys doing? Well, here's the thing. These things, the days, you know, so here, our kids hear about snow days and stuff, right? And I try to tell them, like, no, on the East Coast, like, snow days are baked into the schedule. So they know they're coming. They know they're going to get them. So they plan for it. If there are too many snow days, then guess what? The school year gets extended. You know, they don't just say, oh, well, like you have to get your X amount of days. So the snow days thing, it might feel good in the moment, but at the end of the year, you want school to be out. And that's what they'll do. So that's something that's a thing. Another thing is spring practice, Jamie. You got out of five periods a day. Sounded like you were focused on the defensive line from what I read in your practice report. Tell us what you saw, right? Interesting thing about Jaden Osbury you can get to, and then some good stuff about Bryce Young as well. So what did you observe today, Jamie?
Yeah, so normally for people that kind of don't know how it kind of set up, you know, when you're at practice and when they're inside the athletic center, they don't you're kind of up top and you get to see everything, but the lines generally like will like go outside or like be in the corner. So you don't really get to see them much. So you know, I really haven't got to see those guys kind of up close. So, you know, wanted to go check that out. And, you know, I was on that side of the field with Tim O'Malley and some others. And we were just watching the defensive line for the most part. And you kind of get to be up close. You get to hear, you know, you get to hear Al Washington and Nick Sebastian and the crew like coach. And it was good, you know. And I think that it's different because there's no, you know, Mills and Cross aren't, I mean, I don't want to say they're not participating in the spring because they are doing stuff, but they have missed a number of days, probably because of class conflicts or whatever. Right. So they're like, we're there in the morning, but like not in pads. And then weren't even over there, like with the defensive line when it was going on. So I think they had to go to class or whatever. Mm-hmm. Right? They were probably there for like meetings before. And and that way you get to kind of watch like a lot of the younger defensive tackles. I would say like, if you look at it too, even with the younger defensive tackles, you're looking at like, you know, Rubio is obviously, I mean, he's not young, but he's out, right? He's not there. And then Armel Mukum is out. They've moved Cole Mullins over to defensive tackle. So he's there with, you know, Sean Seviano is the other early enrollee there. Mullins, which is a bit surprising if you think about like Mullins was like playing like linebacker and a little bit of edge.
He was a linebacker guy in college. I mean, in high school, excuse me. Yeah. And then it's like, oh, he'll grow into an edge. Now they're trying to like grow him into a D tackle like that.
But he's like listed at 244 or something like that, but he's big. Like you can see why they would move him. You know, like he's got a frame. Like he's got a frame. He's got really big legs. And obviously it's going to be like a huge adjustment for him. Mm-hmm. And then that's going to take some time, but it's a long-term thing. It's not a short-term thing. I would say too, right? Like, so guys like, I mean, Seviano's huge, but he's nowhere close to playing. Like he needs to drop some pounds and, you know, the jury is definitely out with him. Like you got to take some time for him to kind of physically get right. And it'll be interesting to kind of see where he's at in the summer and where his weight's at. Cause he's obviously like, he's a big boy and it's good to be like a big boy, but you don't want to be just like a space eater because that's wasn't what he was kind of recruited for. Like he was a guy who had pretty good twitch and was a guy who could kind of move and move laterally. And I think he needs to just get down a little bit to be able to do that a little bit better. But I mean, there's a pretty big gap between, I would say, Anya and Heinisch, Anya and Heinisch compared to the other young defensive tackles at this time. Right. So like, you know, Vernon and Devin Houston would be the other guys, you know, working there right now. And then Tyson Ford wasn't there at practice today, which could have been a class conflict, could have been something. I don't know. Right. Cause weren't normally practicing on Tuesdays. So, I would say, you know, that's what it's when you're looking at kind of like where they're at, and they're only going through drills, but, I mean, you always notice a gap between, usually the veterans, especially on the line in terms of like just technique and just like, you know, when a young guy is doing stuff right, you're like, it stands out, right? Like it really stands out. You know, and I would say like, if you're looking at edge, so you could look at like Boubacar Traore, who like I heard obviously had a really good scrimmage on Saturday and is like making an impact as a pass rusher, which is unsurprising. But if you look at him, like technically is a run defender, there's a level of consistency that he doesn't have yet. Where junior Tui Halamaka, who's, you know, going to be a true junior this year.
Yeah.
I mean, Junior Tui Halamaka, he maybe has some like limitations in terms of size and skill set overall, but I mean, he gets praised after every rep and he should, because he's like, he does everything he's exactly supposed to, right? Like he's very technically sound, you know, and I would say like the most technically sound. Like you would think, like, hey, RJ Oben should be whatever. He's not. Like Tui Halamaka is the most technically sound out of all the edges who were working there, more than Botello even too. Who, wow. You know, it's not like those guys aren't, you know, doing mostly good reps most of the time, but like they don't have to correct Tui Halamaka ever. You know, it's just great job, like basically like every time. And that obviously stood out with that group. And the main thing was like Bryce Young, who I only got to see just a tiny bit of, and people have talked about, obviously the only guy that Marcus Freeman singled out as like kind of like physically, whatever, like, he is very impressive physically, and he had like heavy hands and was like, had some shock in his hands, and which is atypical for a freshman, atypical for someone who hasn't played that much defensive line. Obviously, you could see his dad doing some work with him or whatever, but also too, I think some of that is just natural. Like he's got that, and he obviously can run. We know that he can really run too. And I think he's a guy who's got a shot to play this year and really kind of help them. So it's going to be interesting on the defense line. I should mention that Josh Burnham wasn't there today. And I'm going to guess it was probably a class conflict, which why he wasn't there. So, that was unexpected.
I think one of the main themes that I've heard from you and kind of Mike and Matt as well is Notre Dame's two kind of headline recruits on defense from last year, KVA and Bryce Young, like they look like they're going to be hits and they're going to be dudes. And I think that's important, right? And I don't mean necessarily for next year, right? But when you hear about guys, and it was kind of like this with Jaden Greathouse last year too, where it's like as soon as they show up, it's like, oh, they've got it, right? Like they've got something. And I think with KVA, when you talk about him and how he just understands the defense and understands where he's supposed to be and how he's supposed to play, whether it be a run or whether it be in coverage or whatever it might be. When you have guys like that, to go along with the physical attributes, that's when you get a guy where it's like, okay, they play early. Because it just some guys just know how to play the game, right? And I think that we I don't want to say undervalue it because I don't think we undervalue it. It's just hard to evaluate, right? Like it's hard to evaluate that. Like how well does this person just play football, right? How good are they at just playing? And I think those two guys are just kind of fit that mold. You're hearing all the things you want to hear about them. And that's great to hear, just period. We got a question here from Michael about Rush and to kind of keep on the defensive line. Can both of you touch on the current situation with the Rush and position as far as frontline guys and the depth moving forward? Also, where is Notre Dame with Rush and targets for 2025? So on the 2025 piece, Jamie, you could talk about that now, but that you guys also talked about this on Power Hour yesterday. So I would direct everyone to kind of that conversation with you and Mike as well. You were talking about how, you know, specifically with Vipers, 2025 isn't the greatest class for that. And so that's kind of what we're seeing on the recruiting trail, but talk about the Rush end guys. You could talk about both end positions if you want, and then we'll go into 2025 and where things are there.
Yeah. So, obviously they got a lot of numbers there right now. They're not hurting for numbers. Like I saw somebody like kind of raising that, oh, they're moving another guy who's supposed to be a Viper with Mullins, but it's like, I don't think many people thought he was going to be like a long-term Viper, you know, like he was probably going to be a big end if anything. Right. And then now that he's moving to D tackle, it wasn't taking away from Viper. And obviously Logan Thomas is, the long-term Viper. He's going to be a Viper, right? When he practices, he's obviously out right now with the shoulder injury. But at the position right now, they have Botello, I heard that he's having a good spring. I heard he's having a good spring. I heard that, in addition, like we've talked about how he's was, beat up last year, right? Like he was playing hurt a lot of the last year. And I think that had an impact on him. And also he was too heavy last year. So I think he's slimmed down a bit. And that has helped. So there's, you know, you got Botello there, obviously, that you know could at least be at this like baseline level. And then you have Traore there, who, you know, everybody's kind of excited about in terms of, you know, his pass rush potential. I think, you know, he's still got a lot to prove as like an every down guy, but definitely is a guy who's, I would be surprised if he doesn't help him out in like sub packages this year. And you know, will grow, hopefully grow into a guy that can play every down. And then, you know, you still, I just mentioned Tui Halamaka, who his at the very least is like a baseline guy who like you can play in there and he's going to go and play the run really, really well and be assignment sound and, you know, do his job. Right. So they moved Burnham over to, you know, the big end. Right. So he's over there. So really, if you're looking at it and then that kind of like top three, it is Botello, Traore and Tui Halamaka with, you know, Logan Thomas, obviously, yeah, as the younger guy there. And then in this class, I think everybody's, because it's like, you know, for those that don't know that like Damian Shanklin was like a, you know, a pretty top target for Notre Dame, and it's not going to work out for him, you know, as a target for Notre Dame going forward. So with that, there isn't someone who's like an obvious guy, next guy. Although I think like, you know, and you said, we talked about this on Power, so I'll just go quick about it. But like Dom Hulak is a guy that I think is going to be a Viper. He's already 235 pounds. He's got a 79 inch wingspan. Like,
yeah,
I think long-term he's a Viper anyways, right? Like that's just kind of makes sense for where he's going to be. And he's obviously already committed in the class. We'll see obviously with Kia, and what, you know, if he ends up being kind of a long-term Viper there. I think my guess is they'll go after and they'll evaluate a bunch of guys in May, and there'll probably be somebody pop up that will be like visiting in June that we don't like, maybe isn't really on the radar, or someone that maybe isn't someone that we're thinking of right now that is going to be a name to know later for someone there. I think, you know, I think they're in pretty good shape there for this season. Certainly. You know, I like Botello. I like, certainly I love Traore's ceiling. I think you've got a guy who's like a high floor, like run defender in Tui Halamaka. That's solid. That's a solid group. It's certainly, you know, you want maybe more dominant pass rushing, but it's like, you got to see what you get out of Botello this year and really kind of where that's at. And then on the other side, obviously RJ Oben is, you know, he's very much the presumed starter there. And he's got 3 years basically of production to say that he should be and end up being like the very least a good pass rusher, right? Yeah. I think, you know, there's stuff that he has to prove in terms of being a consistent every down player, but that was the same thing with JJB last year, and he was fantastic and really, really took off. So it's going to be interesting, kind of, because there I think you have you know, I mentioned Burnham there. Gobera is going to presumably be back in for fall camp and competing there. And I think he's got really high pass rush potential. Obviously he's got to get healthy. And you got Bryce Young, and yeah, that's Bryce Young. And Bryce Young, I think, has a chance to be a rotation player this year. So I like where they're at in terms of kind of like where they're set and like what they are and what they can be at in terms of like edge rushing. And I think that's going to be better this year. Is it going to be like dominant? Is it, I would say this is like more of a 2017 when you're looking at Notre Dame's like edges that year, where you're like, okay, they were like pretty good off the edge, but it was like those guys kind of needed to take that step in 2018 to really be like, all of a sudden Notre Dame's pass rush just went up like another level there. So that's where I kind of see where that edge rushing is more of like in the 2017, the 2018. But I mean, we still have, you know, I mean, we still got this rest of spring and fall camp to kind of like prove me wrong and show me that like, oh, they can be more than that.
Yeah, I'm not going to accept Notre Dame struggling with the pass rush this year. You have so many ways to get after the passer, like maybe not specifically, I guess, Viper, but like Jalen Snead, you have available to you, right? Like you said, Josh Burnham, you have Bryce Young, you have Boubacar Traore, you have RJ Oben, you have Jordan Bettelho, you have KVA who can rush the passer. You have like all these linebackers who are great athletes. I'm just not good. Like sub packages, you have Howard Cross inside with Riley Mills who are going to play.
Oh, you know, yeah. I think overall they're going to be fine.
A lot of those guys beyond Bettelho and RJ Oben, like they're young. They're young there too.
Yeah.
Like multiple years of eligibility. I think they should be okay.
I think that's probably going to be better actually than last year. And I know they were sixth in pressure rate last year, and obviously they blitzed a ton. I still think they're probably going to blitz a ton this year,
but that's the nature of Al Golden and the way he does things. So,
yeah, but I think I'm not worried about them getting pressure on the passer and affect him.
Yeah. Speaking of linebackers, Coach Humph, before the show started, asked a question and I wanted to get to it, but I wanted to make sure I kind of led into it here. Coach Humph asking, my first two hot takes a few months ago were that Kingston, or KVA is starting and the linebackers would be at least as good as last year, if not better. Jamie, are you ready to acknowledge I'm onto something? So, I think we've heard.
Did I like crap all over this thing or before?
I think it was during a show and he put out there that KVA would start. I mean, and this was, you know, before there were any reports. So you could say he was at the forefront of that stuff. Right. I don't think people were. I think it would be hot takey a few months ago to be like, hey, KVA starting.
I mean, it was a hot take. That's what
I think it would be hot takey to say the linebackers will be better than last year, given the fact that JD Bertrand was there, given the fact that Marist was there, right? In addition to guys like Jalen Snead, and things of that nature. So do you think he's onto something here? You have Jack Kaiser, you have Jalen Snead, you've had glowing comments about Drake Bowen. We've heard good things about Jaden Osbury. We've heard good things about KVA. Obviously I just talked about him. Where do you think the linebacker position is? And is there going to be kind of a marrying of the potential and the individual pieces into like a really good linebacker unit, in 2024?
I think they're going to be really good at linebacker.
Okay. So we're going to Coach Humph.
I'm going to say that. Yeah, Coach Humph, well, I mean, TBD to be like if they're end up being better, but I think
we've got a long way to go, but we're trending.
You know, I definitely think the potential is there, and I certainly think that they're going to be deeper in terms of the number of guys they can play.
Yeah.
The one thing I'll say with KVA is I think in like on other circumstances where they did have some like talent there, if there was like there's been other times where maybe they didn't have this kind of group at linebacker where I'd say like KVA would no doubt start. Yeah. But the fact that you're saying that about a true freshman like is pretty insane, because that's when you get into Manti and Jalen Smith territory. And I think if you look at even them, I think in certain ways, you know, in terms of just mentally, he's probably more advanced than those guys, right? And
More advanced than Manti and Jalen Smith.
Yes, right. It just like everything I've heard, and then it was like kind of echoed today because we got to talk to Max Bulla and then the linebackers, is just like he is just so on it in terms of, and just further ahead than you would expect for any freshman. So that just automatically, that's just something that puts him at a different level right away, because yeah. That's the hardest part for all of these guys, because you know, that's the one thing with like Jalen Snead right now is that he's going into year three and it's his third spring. And now's the time that we're finally like, oh, things are starting to click for him. And it's like, well, I mean, KVA walked on a campus and it was like, click, you know, like he flipped, the switch was flipped already right before he was ready to go. Right. So I think, but I mean, the one thing that I'll say is that I'm not saying that he won't start or he might not start. He might start, right? I that could possibly happen. But like I said, I've heard nothing but like really, really good stuff about Drake Bowen. Drake Bowen looks fantastic. I think Kaiser, you know, looks really good too. And Kaiser's going to start the first game. Like it's...
Yeah.
You know, he's going to start the first game no matter what, and probably, like, you know, at the very least play a ton this year, right? So I think what it's more like, it's trending towards, like, I think Notre Dame is going to play like probably four or five linebackers this year. Yeah. And that's kind of where they're at, which I think is a good thing, right? Like that's, and because if you look at, say, like, the 2018 season, and where, you know, Coney and Tranquil like never left the field ever. And I'm sure it's not like a bad thing that those guys didn't leave the field. They were awesome. They were fantastic that year, but just in terms of, you know, where like you just want to be in terms of like, when he got hurt, when Tranquil got hurt that year, and it was like, oh my gosh, like, you know, like JGH had to step in and yeah. play. And then it was like Drew White had to play against Navy in this thing. It's like, well, I mean, Drew White went from like the scout team to just all of a sudden he had to play against Navy. And then like JGH, excuse me, one sec.
That's,
excuse me.
No problem.
And so, like that wasn't obviously like an ideal situation. Where now,
did we lose Jamie? We have a freezing situation. Jamie, CFB Heard says Jamie sneezed and he knocked out his Wi-Fi. So this is what I see here. Okay. So we talked about, I'll get Jamie out of here, and then when he unfreezes, we'll bring him back. So what I think was what will happen out here in with the linebackers, I think that the linebackers will be better individually, but they still have to go play to that level, right? Like you can't just, it's one thing to be talented. And I think that's where kind of I come out on this, is like they are more talented kind of across the board. Maybe not better athletes, because like Marist and JD Bertrand are like really good athletes. But these guys have a much better like pedigree coming from better programs, different programs. And they have KVA came from Bosco, right? Like Drake Bowen came from, it was like a highly, highly rated recruit, right? Whereas that wasn't the case for Marist and JD Bertrand. Same thing with Jalen Snead, like very highly rated recruit. Jay Nosbury, very highly rated recruit. They do have to come out here and play. I think Jamie is right that we're going to see multiple linebackers, like four or five linebackers play. So you won't see a linebacker, like in my opinion, won't see a linebacker like lose the or lead the team in tackles this year. I just don't think that's going to happen, right? And it'll be hard to gauge them from a just pure numbers standpoint, because they're like, is anyone going to have over 500 snaps this year? right? Like, I just don't know that that's going to be a thing. So it's going to be difficult for them to accumulate numbers. Let's see. Jamie says he thinks it's his internet, so he's going to check on that. So that's kind of where it is. It's going to be hard for them to accumulate numbers. Let me go back to CFB Hertz asked the question here about, do you expect less nickel in favor of three linebacker formations? See, I wouldn't expect that because nickel is such a base piece of what they want to do. And I don't think that they have a linebacker who is capable of bridging the gap between being a linebacker and being kind of that nickel guy who can cover a la JOK. Bring Jamie back in here. Welcome back.
Yeah, sorry. I had to hotspot my phone. The internet here is spotty. So sorry.
Spotty internet. All right. So we're gonna keep it rolling here. Jamie, I don't know if you're able to hear any of that. So, go ahead.
Well, I heard the tail end of it. No, I don't expect. Like, I don't think they're gonna. Maybe slightly less. They're still a nickel team.
And it would have to be like scheme dependent to an opponent.
Yes.
It would have to be something like that. Although I do want to bring this in because this is interesting, right? So Vision Poet mentions the fact that Jaden Osbury possibly playing the DJ Brown role, right? So he was working with safeties today, and he was working that kind of role in their Aztec formation.
So wait, I just want to clarify though. He was working with safeties in individual stuff when they were doing the inside run, and me and Tim O'Malley noticed that we're like, oh, he's with the safeties right now. That's weird. And then we asked him after practice.
Yeah.
About that. And he said, yeah, he's been doing some stuff. And then I asked him specifically, oh, about the what role it was. And was that in that package? And he said, yes, it's that the Aztec role in their spear package, which is their three safety package. And he would be the third safety, which is that guy who's kind of like a multiple guy who kind of will blitz. He'll cover, he'll do a lot of different things. He'll rob stuff over the middle. That's kind of where he's at. So, but we didn't get to see him actually do that. So I just want to clarify that.
Okay. I mean, what do you think about that? That's interesting. Cause for me, it's like, okay, you know, maybe you're waiting for like Rod Hurd to get here. Right. But then again, like you have a Don Shuler there, like you have Luke Talich there, like those guys can do that with Xavier Watts. Right. So that's interesting to me that he's doing that. Again, I think that's something we're going to have to monitor going forward, right? Like, what exactly do they have in store for him? Because I think about, like, you know how you have that meme, Jamie, of, you know, the couple's laying in bed, the guy's on his side, and the wife's looking over, like, what is he thinking about another woman? It's like, oh, no, I'm thinking about this random thing. Like, for me, yeah. I'm thinking about how are they going to deal with this linebacker situation, right? Because you have five guys for two spots, and they're all like, I can make a case for all of them. I want to see all of them on the field. So how they adjudicate that is going to be tricky. And I'm very curious to see how, I mean, Preston Zinter, I think, is a good football player. So like, I wonder how they're going to make that work. And let me get this comment. Where is it going to aggregate? There we go. Mitch Abahalik says, channeling my inner Billy Bean, is Notre Dame better at linebacker in the aggregate? And I think that might be the situation, right? Like, you're not going to have one thing I said when you were gone is like, I don't think we're going to see a linebacker like lead the team in tackles this year, because I don't think there's going to be any one linebacker who's on the field enough to accumulate the numbers that you're going to need to, right? Like, it might be one of the safeties, right? It might be Howard Cross. It won't be Howard Cross. But like, you see what I'm saying? Like, I just don't know that it's going to be a linebacker. It might be Rod Hurd, or it might be Xavier Watts or someone like that. So that's going to be interesting to track kind of going forward.
The only other thing that I'll add with that, because I think it would be interesting, because I mean, I really would like to see it, but I also don't know if he's getting work there, but it's like, I mean, Antonio Carter was getting work at there, and it's like we never saw him once there. You know, it was just around. So I don't know if like when they're doing it with the ones, it's like that's where Shuler is or whatever, right? So I don't know that for sure. We don't know that at this point. But certainly, I think that's intriguing. And it is a way, like you said, to get more of the linebackers on the field in that sense, too, because really that player is more of a linebacker, right? Like it's that role is more of a linebacker role. And that's the thing where they were like talking with when they were recruiting Kennedy Urlacher. They were talking about that role specifically with him, which kind of fits him, too, right?
Yeah. So you want they obviously have something in mind for that position, the type of player they want in that position. And does Jaden Osbury fit? Right. So that's going to be, like I said, it's going to be something to monitor, right? You always want to, you know, you have these linebackers and you need to be able to utilize them in the best way to get the most out of them. Right. You always want to be maximizing the roster. You always want to be maximizing your website or your social media page, and you want to maximize those things, right? Just like the Notre Dame roster does. And if you want to do that, then what you want to do is head over to VSRmediaCompany.com, founded by Notre Dame football pregame host and Emmy Award-winning anchor Vahid Sadrazadeh. VSR Media provides professional and cinematic video and photo. Whether you're looking for a collegiate or pro-level highlight reel, have a personal story to tell, or are aiming to diversify and grow your business, VSR Media specializes in short and long form video storytelling, social media management, and website design. VSR Media also captures professional headshots, senior and sports photos. Contact them at VSRmediaCompany.com. Mention Iris Sports Daily to receive 20% off your first project. Visit them online or give them a call at 574-800-9106. Jamie, let's move over to offense for just 1 second here. Another Riley Leonard's still out there taking reps with his brace on. I think it's a Tyco brace, I think is what Matt said. And I was wondering something about this, because when I saw him on the I saw him in the previous video, he was moving pretty well. And I thought, I bet you he could take 7-on-7 with this. Now I don't know, because that's a it's a little bit different just throwing the ball around, right? Like 7-on-7, while you're not being hit and all that, like you do want to hit your drop. You do want to plant your foot. Like you actually want to be able to drive the ball in this situation. But he said today that, or Gino Gaudule said today that he is taking 7-on-7 reps. So he is doing 7-on-7 with the team. So again, if he's doing 7-on-7, he could throw 1-on-1s as well. So he's becoming familiar with his teammates. He's becoming familiar with the passing game, building chemistry with the wide receivers. And so I think that's all like really good, obviously, right? Like you want to be building that chemistry with those guys. And that really, really helps to have him out there doing that. And that was a concern that I think a lot of people had, is like building those reps, getting those reps in with the wide receivers, getting that chemistry down. They are doing that. So I thought that was really good. Kind of anything else I noticed today, Micah Gilbert, short period, right? Is this against air, but he was working with the ones. Now, Jaden Thomas has been limited this spring, so he wasn't out there doing that. But Micah Gilbert is the one who gets the call with the ones in kind of that situation. Obviously, Jordan Faison isn't out there either. But anything on the offense that you kind of want to touch on here?
Well, I mean, I didn't watch them today, so right. I can't really comment too much on them from that perspective, but just kind of like, you know, and it's just echoing some of the stuff that I already kind of mentioned on Power, but just like, you know, I've heard that like the offensive line, like it's still like, you know, they're still kind of figuring stuff out there in terms of like they're rotating a lot of guys and working different guys in, and it hasn't been like, you know, that one group the whole time. Like they've repped other guys there. You know, Matt mentioned to me today that Rocco Spindler was working at left guard today, you know, with the twos, which he hadn't, I don't think, previously. So, And that's where he was working like in previous years, not last year. Obviously, he was the starting right guard. So, you know, that's something because, I mean, that would mean that he's probably going to be in competition with Pat Coogan.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'll let you know about Billy Shrouth and where they think that is.
Yeah, so that's obviously, you know, with him and Coogan, that's something to monitor. And then I think that just overall have heard just nothing but good things about the backs. And just like the backs are like the strongest position on the team and or on the offense. And that's like the primary reason why they're like, you know, Jeremiah Love, like, let's get him working the slot too. Cause it's like, well, Jeremiah Love is just like one of the most talented guys on the team. And it's like, we want to get our talent out there as much as possible. Right. So that's like, you know, that's a big reason why that's kind of happening. But I don't know. I think, you know, I will say that on the defense, like, man, I've heard like a lot of like glowing reviews on the defense in terms of like the defense, you know, could be better than last year's defense. And people are really excited about the defense. But I think in saying that too, there's, you know, the offense compared to say last spring, where it was a bit of more of a struggle throughout until like kind of late in the spring. But they've won things. They've made plays. They've had things, good things happen. You know, as well as like the defense doing well too. So there's a little bit more give and take there, which I think is a good thing.
Who was it that asked about Michael asked about, have you heard anything specifically on Micah Bell?
Haven't heard anything specifically about him. Just that he's, you know, mostly working at nickel behind Jordan Clark. Mm-hmm. And, you know, haven't really got to watch him all that much, just other than just like drill work and stuff. So, I mean, I'll be really interested when we get kind of like a longer look at him and to see where he's at. Because obviously, you know, with you lose Clarence Lewis, now that like kind of next man in at nickel, that could be him, right? So that's something that you want to kind of look at to see where he's at. And I'll be very interested to kind of see where he's at.
Yeah, I think his main kind of goal ought to be like, if something were to happen to Jordan Clark, if he is the backup at nickel, like, okay, then we're going to you instead of we're moving Rod Hurd and we're putting Adon Shula. You know what I'm saying? Like, you want it to be you. Like, you don't want to be number two on the depth chart, but you're not the guy who comes in if something happens to number one. You know, that's where he wants to get to. It's like, I can come in and actually be the person that we want playing this position. And so that's kind of where I feel like he's going to be at. So that, like you said, that'll be interesting to monitor. And you know, they also, like Notre Dame also has other options they can go to as well. So that'll be interesting to see. I think about this wide receiver group and basically the offense in general, right? We kind of know Jeremiah Love can hit the home run, right? Like he's got the speed. It's kind of crazy that he didn't hit like a really long one last year. I mean, he had the 30-yard run against the second game. Who was that? I don't know. That was like
Tennessee State.
At Tennessee State, right? He hit that kind of long one, 30-yarder, and he looked good in the open field in the bowl game, but, like, he never hit, like, a 50-yarder, you know? Yeah. But we know he's got that in his bag just because he's so fast and he's so explosive. Yeah. Jadarian Price, right? Like, he's obviously got that in his bag. He's got a 100-yard kickoff return against USC. So he's got that. Jordan Faison, you know he can run, right? Chris Mitchell, like, I think we've heard enough about him. It's like he looks good. Like, you thought, like, man, he really glides out there. Right. And if you can look good like that, then you've got that. Right. You told a story about Jaden Greathouse from the scrimmage. You had heard that he had a long catch and run play where he took it to the house. And if Jaden Greathouse is going to be a big run after catch guy, then I mean, like all the props that you can put on Jaden Greathouse as far as leading the team in receptions, in yards, in touchdowns, I think you got to go there. I just think he's going to be in for a monster year, Jamie. I don't know what that means in terms of numbers. I think he's going to be like a super breakout player for Notre Dame. Kind of like, again, kind of similar to like maybe Will Fuller in 14 or EQ in 16, where it's like, man, these numbers are just like number one wide receiver number. I know they have a ton of options, and I know like, you know, they have Faison and Mitchell and Thomas, and they'll have Bo Collins. I just think any of those guys can go off on a game-by-game basis. I think the one constant is going to be Jaden Osbury. I think he's got the temperament. I think he has.
Greathouse.
Osbury. Listen, the line.
Too many Jadens.
Okay. Too many Jadens and the linebackers. Like I told you, I'm sleeping. Yeah. I'm laying in bed thinking about how they're going to get him on the field. I want to put him at wide receiver here. Jaden Greathouse, I just think he's got the temperament. I think he's changed his body. I think he looks quicker, right? I think he's slimmed down a little bit. I'm all in on him, Jamie. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, and I think there's something to be said about, obviously, you know, when you see it and you see him moving around better and you hear good things about, like, you know, he made this play here, he made that play there. But also, too, I think most of the coaching staff, and I would say in general, are like, play stuff pretty close to the vest in terms of praising guys because they don't want to like overpraise anyone. But you can kind of tell when they're talking about someone and by kind of like the substance of what they're saying or how they talk about it in the context, like especially in person of what they're saying about someone. And just like whenever like Jaden Greathouse comes up, it's like high praise. It's like high praise. And it's like, it's pretty obvious he made a jump. And which, you know, wasn't like unexpected because I kind of thought that, you know, it was very possible that it could happen. But I think that thing is probably the, if he becomes wide receiver one for Notre Dame, that changes things because I think it would be a lot to ask to say like, okay, Chris Mitchell, you're coming here as a transfer. And it's like, well, you're going to be wide receiver one. It's not to say that he couldn't do it or it might not happen still, but it's like, you know, it's a lot to ask for just all of a sudden you're going FIU and then just, you're just, you know, dominating this other competition.
70 catches. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. So, and no matter who it is, anyways, just having a guy that you think like, you know, and everyone thinks about, you think about wide receiver one at Notre Dame in at least recent years, you think of, you know, Michael Floyd and just him kind of being that go-to guy. But obviously Notre Dame has had other guys like that too. Like, you know, we mentioned recently in recent weeks, like TJ Jones in 2013, that was like a number one guy. And if you can have someone be that kind of guy that you can kind of count on, that it's like, okay, we need to play. We need week after week, we need to go, this guy's got to come up with something. He's got to, it's a big third down. We need this, whatever. Like, I think he's the guy that you're like trying to scheme to get him the ball. And that's always a great thing to have. And that's the kind of spring he's had. And obviously it's got to carry over, but that's exactly what you want to hear.
Yeah. And when the coaches start going in on that, the another way or another reason that they feel good enough and confident enough to do that, and it's not going to disrupt the locker room, is because the locker room knows.
They know. Yeah.
So it's like, of course they're going to talk about him. He's great and he's been killing us, you know? So like, that's why it's like, hey, everyone kind of knows this. We can speak honestly about it. We're not, you know, no one's going to get their feelings hurt about that. The offensive line. And tell me if you agree with this. My opinion is we're not going to know until Texas A&M reports, whatever they may be. I just don't think we'll know about whether how good they're going to be until they get to play an actual game. Because it's just, there's too many unknowns there as far as Jagusaw, right? Like Jagusaw, Baker, like, look, they could look great in practice. They should have their moments. They'll have their moments. They'll have their down moments. But like once the games start, it's just that's when it's gonna tell the tale. But I don't think there's anything we can hear really in the spring or camp to where it's gonna be like, yeah, like we definitely know it's gonna be like this or like that. Tell me what you think about that.
Yeah, well, I also think that like it's totally unfair to just judge them by that Texas A&M game too, because that is probably the best defensive line they're going to play all year, and it's going to be on the road in a hostile environment, and you know, it's the first start for a lot of guys, and yeah, a lot of these guys haven't played that much. Like, it's like if they don't have like a great game, you can't say they're not going to be great later, right? Like, so because when is the first game of the season the best game of the season for the offensive line? Never, right?
Well, so, let me clarify. What I mean is, I don't think that we could make any sort of like,
there's no sweeping declarations you can make, right, about this guy, right, is going to be, yeah, yeah, yes, that's, I agree, right, with that. Yeah.
Yeah. That's kind of where I'm getting at. Right. Whether they play, you know, if they play an uneven game, whatever. And look, like, okay, 2018, right, was one of that. They were a line in huge transition, right? A ton of different starts. It just Liam Eichenberg hadn't started a game yet. Right. Robert Banks hadn't started a game yet. Aaron Banks, excuse me. There are so many different moving parts to that team, right? Tommy Kramer was kind of moving into a new spot. Alex Bars, things of that nature. And that team did not start out very well on the offensive line at all. Right. 12-0, right. You can work through these things. They got better as the year went on, obviously. Same thing with the 21 team. That was the worst offensive line we've had in how long to start the year, right? We have not seen them play that well. And they got better, right? And look, they were helped by the schedule, right, which was not the toughest ever. But, like, that's still 11-1. Like, you can still find ways to win and work around it, okay? So I'm not saying – like, to your point, like, if it doesn't look great against Texas A&M or it doesn't look dominant against Texas A&M, then, you know, they have a chance to get better. And they can against the schedules they play. But I just don't think we're going to know in the spring game, fall camp, anything like that. Now, look,
I think the only thing you could say is if they're bad in camp, then you're like, yeah, they're going to be bad. And it's
if they're bad in camp.
And then it's going to look like 2021. Right. Because that has easily been the worst line that Notre Dame has had. Cause you look at, even the 4-8 year, the line wasn't great by any means, but they weren't bad. Like it wasn't the line why they were 4-8. So, and that line was bad for at least half the year. Mm-hmm. Right. So, So I think you're right. It's TBD based on it. All you want to see is encouraging signs and them to get it kind of figured out as much as possible, where they're not like in desperation mode after the spring. Cause they're like, oh man, like we're in trouble. And I don't think that's not the vibes that I'm getting right now.
Yeah. I think the fact that you've heard good things about Jaggy Saw and Craig and Shrouth, like, I think that's a good sign. Right. And just in terms of like, hey, you want it to look good at some point, right? And especially like early, like it's early in the spring, right? And look, they'll have their ups and downs and things of that nature. But as long as you hear some good things, you hear some good play, that's good. Before we wrap up here, Jamie, anything that you are monitoring, things like you want to keep up as you've been there, right? So you're going to be there for the rest of the week, right? And you're going to be there until Saturday, right? So you have some more time. Things that you're monitoring, looking forward to, want to keep track of as the week goes on.
Well, I mean, I'm certainly that right tackle spot. That's what I'm going to be monitoring quite a bit. I think that is it's big, right? Like I think no matter what, like it at guard, like if you think about it, it's like, oh well, like, just say it is, and it's not necessarily that it's going to be this, but like, let's just say it is Coogan versus Spindler for that left guard spot. Well, it's like, well, you got guys who started all last year and that's who's going for it. You could be in a lot worse situations, right? So you want to look at, so to me, right tackle's the, a super, super important spot to watch on offense. I think just, you know, quarterbacks in general and just kind of how they're going to perform, under pressure, when we get to see them. I think, mostly, on defense, it's just kind of like, where are some of these young guys that, who are ready to kind of, we're excited about in terms of their potential, where are they at in terms of, positioning, in terms of how much they're going to play this year? What's the indicator of that, of like where they're going to be at? So it was like, if KVA is really like, it's like, well, I mean, I think he's already making a kind of a statement, but it's like, you know, I want to see as much of KVA as possible. I want to see Bryce Young, you know, and see what he can do as much as possible. And then it's just like some of these other, it's like Jalen Snead to me is like, because the guys who are X factors of, it's like, well, Jalen Snead really turned a corner this year. That's a guy who you could just see, like, I don't want to say it just totally raises the ceiling of the whole defense, because I think the ceiling is already high, even if he doesn't play or whatever. But like, he's certainly a guy that, like, athletically, you just look at, like, there's not many other guys like him. So I do think there is something too, like, if a guy like him can take like a big step, well, that is significant. I like Adon Schuler, like, just keep building. Cause if he keeps doing that, then it's like, I mean, you already know that Hurd is going to be there. So it's like, it's just additive to what you're doing. And, everything, like, oh man, there's a lot of good vibes about the defense right now, and I'm just really excited to watch the defense.
We love to hear that. Jacob Paulus asked the question, do you think there will be in-game rotations on the O-line? I think that's something to, like you said, look at the right tackles, right? Look at the, like, where is that? Where is that at, right? Where is Emil Wagner? Where is Tosh Baker, right? Like, Are those guys, like, you watch them, it's like, hey, that needs to be a rotation, because either both of them are playing great, or one of them, like, maybe Tosh Baker is a little too inconsistent to just own the job on his own, or vice versa with Emil Wagner. So that's something to keep track of.
Yeah, but I will say the one thing about, like, that 2017 when they had, like, you know, the Kramer Hainsey, is like, those were two young guys that were like, okay, where they're like kind of around the same, and we want two young guys to keep playing and keep developing. And that'd be a different story with this, right? Where it's like, you got to just play the best guy. If it's like, if they're playing two guys, it's because they got nobody. You know what I mean? It's like, you don't have the one person that you really want, and you want someone to take that right tackle job and then say, that's mine, and just go with that the whole way. You don't want it to be, for it to be the case where it's like, well, they're splitting, cause it's like, they're not confident in either of these guys.
Jason Smith asking, any chance Gurbi Lambert is able to come in and compete for right tackle and maybe get in the rotation by the end of the season? Normally I would say no, but there is a chance. Like, if he came in and was physically ready and just was the best guy, here's the take. I don't think that Tosh Baker and Emil Wagner are, like, so good. I mean, obviously the experience isn't really there. So I don't think they're so good that someone can't come in if they're physically ready to go.
And, well, it's going to be mentally, really, because
that's what I mean. Well, but that's what I mean. Like, if he can come in and do it, like, there's not the, what I'm saying is there's not the gap in experience that make it so it's like we can't take the chance. We can't deal with we can't deal with some growing pains here because we have these guys who are so experienced. We know that they can do it. Like, I don't think that's the case. Like, normally I would say no, but I think in this situation there is an opening for him.
Yeah. Well, I think the main thing with when it comes to true freshmen offensive linemen is almost all guys who play as true freshmen play out of necessity. And it's not that they aren't talented, because every single guy who's played as a true freshman at Notre Dame in the last decade has been super talented, but they're not playing if the other guy's really good and it's in that position. Like, I mean, Quentin Nelson did play as a true freshman, right? Like, you know, Ronnie Stanley did play as a true freshman, but he ended up, you know, getting hurt and then turning into redshirt or whatever, right? But like, that's just, you know, Zach Martin didn't play as a true freshman, right? And I know everybody's got a different kind of path or whatever, but it's just like, it's just a thing. There's a lot of guys on the offensive line who redshirt because most guys aren't ready. And if they're are, even if a guy's like solid above him, it's really hard to kind of pass for them to pass it. So I think if Lambert's playing, it does say something about him and his talent, but it also says something, like you said, about kind of Wagner and Baker. And like, these guys didn't, it's the same thing. They didn't, they're, this is the time for them. This time, and then in August, you got to grab it. You got to grab the position and got to make it yours. And if you don't, then they're going to give Kirby a look. Right? Yeah. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah. Right. Like, there's some positions on this team that, I don't know. Well, like Howard Cross and Riley Mills, right? Or Eli Raritan or Jaden Thomas, right? Like, some of these guys, like the spring, I'm just going through it. Right. I'm just going through the spring, you know, and then I'll ramp up in the summer. It's not like that for right tackle. Like, these guys have to come in and be like, we are fighting for our jobs, right? Every day. They cannot go through the motions in the spring. And if they are, then that's bad news. And that's, I'm not saying that they're doing that. I'm just saying they have to have a different level.
You just got to earn it. You just got to earn the job. You got to earn the job.
They have a different level of urgency than everybody else. All right, we're going to leave it there. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If this is your first time catching us, please hit the like. Please hit subscribe. Please hit the notification bell so you know whatever it is. We are going live. We'll be back on Thursday. Does Thursday work for you, Jamie? It normally does, but.
Yep.
Thursday works. All right, so we'll be back on Thursday at our normal time, and we're going to be talking about more Notre Dame spring practice. Have a good rest of your day, everyone. We'll talk to you Thursday. Keep hitting and hustling.